Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. I'm here to empower you. Magical engineer Frank and I were ready to go. Well, we're going to be talking about allergy season. We have to, because the pollen is about to explode. And so I want to just, you know, touch on some things we've probably talked about in the past a little bit and some new things. But, you know, just to help you out, maybe sidestep the allergy season altogether. We'll talk about some things that you can do. Also, if we have time, we're going to be talking about age-related things, and we'll see how much time we have after that. And we have a quack report, but before we do all that good stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting them all up in prayer. I'm lifting the nation, all of us, up in prayer. I'm praying for righteous men of valor with knowledge and understanding. And do you know why that's important? Because if you have a righteous man of valor that's willing to stand up with integrity and with truth and with honesty and justice, that's what that means, right? Not just to have power and, you know, might makes right. We're talking about righteousness and judgment here and justice. And it all comes down to the Lord's justice. There's a big difference, you know. And as Isaiah 59 says, we're supposed to plead to the Lord in prayer for justice and truth. So I think if we don't ask for it, we're not going to get it. So we're going to all in good time, of course, and the Lord's timing is not always our timing, and his will be done, but we are obligated to ask. So mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, what's in the quacker tonight? Going to go to California, Stockholm. Oh boy, smart meters exploded. After a power surge, exploded right off the side of the homes. Bam! you could Google this and see the video. Not them exploding in action, but the aftermath of it all. You know, if people were near their meters at the time on the outside of their home, you know, puttering around, whatever, they could have been seriously injured by this. What happened was they had a power surge in Stockholm Monday. And the meters exploded. The explosion started around 8:30 in the morning because a truck crashed into a utility pole, and it caused the surge to happen. So about 5,000 homes were affected with power outages. And whether they are going to get their power back to really just depends on the damage to their meter. Now, neighbors in South Stockton described the sound as a large pop or even an explosion sound, a bomb sound, enough to shake homes. Okay, so it was significant. And the meter really doesn't look bad, this one guy said, on his neighbor's house, but if you go inside his house, all his receptacles had all turned black. Wow, that could have really burned down somebody's house, possibly. I don't know. PG&E says the dump truck crashed near the Alpine station on Arch Road, and when the truck hit the utility pole, the top wire fell on the bottom wire, and it created a power surge or an overload. And so power is expected to be restored to most of the customers, depending on the damage varying to their meters. Wow, is that safe? You got to ask yourself, if there's some sort of power surge, is your house going to catch on fire? Because these smart meters can't handle, I don't know. I don't ever remember hearing that with an analog meter. All right, moving along in the quack report. What's it like to be allergic to Wi-Fi? Well, some people say that they're sensitive to the electromagnetic fields that they say are emitted by cell phones and Wi-Fi and other devices. They say it makes them sick, right? So it's known as electromagnetic hypersensitivity, or EHS. And it's not a condition that doctors recognize. They say it's more psychological rather than physiological. But according to the World Health Organization, they say that it is real, and there are symptoms associated with electromagnetic hypersensitivity, such as dizziness, nausea, heart palpitations, redness, tingling, and burning sensation on the skin. So they say it's not really part of any single recognized syndrome yet, but they estimate that it affects a few individuals per million. So data from self-help groups state that about 10% of the cases are deemed severe. Now, the World Health Organization says electromagnetic hypersensitivity can be a disabling problem to the person that it affects, but it really doesn't have any clear diagnostic criteria for it, and there's no scientific basis that links the symptoms to EMF exposure. So there are communities, though, with electromagnetic refugees, if you will. They are gathering in places like Green Bank, West Virginia. There's a town there that is electromagnetic and radiation free because they ban all those devices. All right. Last but not least in the quack report, we got bionic ants. Yep, we do. Robots, ant robots. This is it, man. You know, you heard about the robots in the hospitals taking away jobs from people, but what the heck are we doing with ants that are robots? Okay, what is this? German developers have developed this technology at a firm called Festo. And they said that the whole thing was inspired by ants because of their collective intelligence. You know, if you look at an ant colony, they work together and so forth. So they wanted to replicate that. And then they want to take these robotic ants and make them into factory workers. So ants are able, they say, to complete complex tasks like transporting large, heavy loads that they wouldn't be normally able to achieve individually, so they work together to transport. So the robot actually features a camera and floor sensors, and they're able to follow their location and identify objects. They can grab with their little grippers. They have antennae in the front of their heads, which are their chargers for their lithium batteries. They have radio modules in their abdomen so they can communicate with the other ant robots wirelessly, you know, just like their natural counterparts, according to the German researchers. They fix legs. Now, the bodies of these bionic ants were made from 3D printed plastic powder melted layer by layer with a laser. And then all the circuitry is also 3D that's printed on the top of the body. Their ceramic legs and pinchers are very flexible for quick mobility and for precise movement, and they don't use that much energy. So, wow, people on the assembly lines, car industry maybe, factory workers, going to be replaced by robotic ants. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, robots in the hospitals, robots in the factories. And, you know, what's this, you know, the car that drives itself across country? So what? You won't be able to drive your car either? Oh, my goodness. Well, let's talk about navigating allergy season. Let's just come down to earth a little bit here. Allergy season officially starts in March, as you probably have surmised, especially in the southeast and the southern parts of the U.S. Now, usually around mid-March is when tree pollen begins, and pollen can be a problem for a majority of allergy sufferers, and so much so that they tend to monitor the pollen reports from the National Allergy Bureau, or they tend to go to pollen.com, where they can download phone apps and monitor. Now, hay fever, as you know, is called allergic rhinitis. And more people these days seem to be sensitive to the environment, to their foods, to bugs, to drugs, and pets. So this can negatively affect our daily function. So about half the population of the U.S. suffers from allergies, and we spend about $18 billion on allergy treatments every year. Allergies are more costly, folks, and get this, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's all put together. So let's take a look at what we can do to minimize or even overcome the allergy season. Now, if you are on our newsletters list over at thepowerherbs.com, you can sign up for our newsletters. You will get hot links to these pollen maps that's in the newsletter for today, and also you get links to pollen.com and some other things. So if you haven't signed up and are subscribing, it's absolutely free. So you get this information free each week. So you can sign up at thepowerherbs.com and click on newsletters. All right, let's look at some of the stats. According to the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, millions of Americans encounter allergy outbreaks. And nearly 8% of adults have hay fever, and 7 to 10% of the children have hay fever. So as high as 30% of adults suffer from seasonal sinusitis, and about 10 to 20% have allergic reactions to medications for allergies. How do you like that? Nearly 10% of the kids have respiratory allergies like asthma. So why do we have more than 50 million people in the U.S. willing to risk their health using over-the-counter and prescription drugs for their allergies? Well, in a majority of these cases, it's because they're pretty much unaware of steps that they can take to reduce their sensitivity to allergens. So we're going to take a look at that. Let's look at some of the causes for your allergies. What can prompt allergies to occur is a big question. Some scientific studies are suggesting that it's really due in large to protein molecules placed directly into the blood as an artificial infection, which causes the problem. So we normally don't take these proteins into the blood directly, and they would be broken down in the digestive process under normal circumstances. So an example of placing large protein molecules into the blood would be something like a leaky gut situation or even a vaccination. So when this occurs, a burden is placed on the lymphatic system to filter out the proteins from the blood, which can make the gland system sick. And when the lymph glands are clogged with polluted proteins from wherever, they can't support our immune system to help make white blood cells. So this allows allergic reactions to run rampant and compromise the immune system. Another function of the lymphatic system, which can be severely hindered, is to carry nutrients and fat to all the tissues. So our cells need quality fats from unprocessed foods, and our body isn't able to carry out that function as it should. So physician Len Howerwitz, or Leonard Howerwitz, I should say, describes vaccinations this way, because he thinks they're a big problem towards our spike in allergies. He says most parents who feed their children properly would not let them eat a food which contained any of the many ingredients in an immunization, which he's correct. But you let them inject that directly into the bloodstream, parents, and your kids. Now, a chiropractor, Dr. Ted Corin, says some of the ingredients in childhood vaccines are thimerosal, which is your mercury. They also have disinfectants and preservatives. They have aluminum, which is an additive to promote antibody response. They have formaldehyde, which is a disinfectant, ethylene glycol, which is really antifreeze, phenol disinfectant and dyes, benzothorium chloride, which is an antiseptic, and methaparaben, which is an antifungal preservative. So that's what's in a lot of vaccines out there. And if you get them shot after shot after shot, you can get an accumulative effect. And, of course, this is where kids are coming down with all kinds of problems. So let's look at the antihistamines, because that's what most people reach for. Many people will take antihistamines for their allergy symptoms. So what do antihistamines really do? Well, everyone has histamine receptors. They're called H1s, and that they're all over your body. So they are on your smooth muscle cells, which line your intestines. They're on cells that line cavities of your heart. They're on lymph vessels, central nervous system like your spinal cord and brain, and also in blood vessels. So histamine is important and necessary for function. So when you take antihistamines, guess what you're doing? So the body releases histamine, which can bring inflammation initially, increasing more circulation to the area. It's an immune system response. And then it can bring on allergic reactions. But histamine is a local immune system response with white blood cells. It also regulates physiological functions of your thyroid, your digestive tract, and as well as your neurotransmitters in your brain. Now, medical doctors may recommend antihistamines for a common cold, for eczema, for food allergies, for sinusitis and hay fever, hives, and even poisonous rashes like poison oak, ivy, or sumac. However, if you use antihistamines, you can experience psychological alterations as well as physiological ones in your body. So antihistamines are in many products, including your antipsychotic drugs. So if you use a prescribed antipsychotic drug and prescribed or over-the-counter antihistamines or any number of products over-the-counter that have antihistamines in them, you could be getting more antihistamines than you need, which could be putting your cardiovascular system, your central nervous system, your gland system, your digestive system at some serious risk. Now, many allergy sufferers will use the Claritin product. You've probably heard about that one. However, this product does not guarantee patients won't gain weight while they're using it. And also, Claritin stresses that it's not for pregnant or nursing mothers. or those who suffer from kidney or liver disease. So that tells you that the drug stresses those organs, puts a lot of irritation on them. So research, if you're going to use it, research the Claritin side effects and before you use it, because if you're using it for allergies, you'll discover that some of the side effects are allergy-related. So you could have things like a rash, swelling, itching, nervousness, rapid heartbeat, weakness, stomach pain, dizziness, diarrhea, and respiratory distress. And, my engineer is saying, can I play the court jester? Can I? Yes, you can play the court jester.
What do you want? Tell it with the poisons in the vessel, with the pestle, the chalice, with the palace has the brew that is true.
That's right. Absolutely. Danny Kaye and the court jester. There, it sums it up right there, what you're getting. Thank you, Frank. I forgot about that clip. All right. A lot of people say, you know, why me? Why do I have to have allergies when other people don't? Yeah, many people ask why they suffer from allergies when other people seem unaffected. Research suggests that some people have difficulty with certain proteins, and the immune system targets them as dangerous pathogens. So when the immune system responds with immunoglobulin E to fight an identified allergen, well, a whole slew of chemical reactions occur. So histamine can unleash a flood of body fluids to help deal with congestion or other pulmonary symptoms. And according to some research, hot, spicy foods can help the body deal with this response. So the hotter the spice, the better, because it helps the body clear away the pathogens trapped in the mucus sent by the immune system. So you can check your refrigerator for some hot peppers, ginger root, that's pretty hot sometimes if you get the hot kind, horseradish, onion, garlic. This would provide you basically a natural mucus buster as well as a natural antibiotic. All right, let's look at some other strategies. There are many strategies a person can use to reduce or clear away allergic responses during the allergy season. I have often said that avoiding certain foods that create or even promote an allergy response or a lot of mucus in the body is a way of prevention. It'll prevent a lot of congestion and allergy response. So according to Drs. Christine Gerbasset and Dr. David Leopold, they agree that there are foods you will want to avoid. For example, instead of creamy soups, they say opt for soups with clear broths that have no cream or dairy. Instead of sour cream dips, opt for hummus dips with no dairy in them. So I don't personally agree that allergy sufferers should consume yogurt for the probiotics, because that's what some doctors tell them to do, because the dairy, it will promote congestion and more mucus. So Drs. Gerbasset and Leopold recommend a diet with more omega-3 fatty acids and antioxidants to help reduce the likelihood of an inflammation response and an allergy response. So there are also some herbs that are going to help you with the anti-inflammatory action. We're going to talk about those. And also there's some herbal options in case you don't want to use over-the-counter stuff for antibiotics, okay? Now, for sinusitis, hay fever, I'd like to use a combination of herbs. I'll use echinacea root, garlic, and hot pepper. So usually, you know, the hotter the pepper, the better. I would at least get a habanero type of hot, 250, 300,000 Scoville heat unit kind of hot. Now, the echinacea deluxe product is an herb liquid that the folks at Apothecary Herbs make, and it's an excellent for allergies, and it has these herbs in them. So at the first sign of sinus pressure, you could take this product and you can pretty much skip the sinus infection. So if you already have a sinus infection, this product will actually shorten your recovery time without having to use over-the-counter antibiotics. So if your immune system is super sensitive, you know, likes to create more of an allergic response, it's kind of hyperactive that way, you can try to balance it a little bit with the immune system balancer herb liquid. It kind of tones it down without having to take the antihistamine products. Now, if you tend to get the watery, itchy, mucusy eyes during the allergy season, there's a great product called Herbal Eye Wash that's excellent. You could use that to wash away the eyes and get them all unstuck. Excellent also for pink eye and other problems, so check that out. Now, if you tend to get upper respiratory infections, the bronchitis, things like that, pneumonia, there is a pneumonia kit at thepowerherbs.com. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have that. So it's a natural way of dealing with that kind of congestion and infection. Now, if you tend to get the skin inflammation, the rashes, and an inflammation issue, there are anti-inflammatory herbs, like I mentioned. So look for their pain and anti-inflammatory liquid. They have that in regular extra strength. And also, you look at their skin poultice, which is really neat. If you tend to have kids that just look at poison ivy and get it, well, that is awesome stuff to have on hand to really take care of that without having to go get, you know, hormones and steroids and other things from the doctor's office. So it's called skin poultice, and you'll be amazed. I use that also for bee stings, bug bites, mystery bug bites. So when my kids were little and they'd be swimming, and you see these little sweat bees kind of, you know, dancing around on the clover, and then they kind of zip on over and bite one of your kids, and the kids come out of the pool or screaming, you can just mix a little of the skin poultice stuff up, and you put it on, you know, sit them out of the pool, give them a popsicle, let them sit and dry off for 20 minutes. You put this stuff on, and after 20 minutes, you take it off, and it's like they never were bit, okay, because it's what the Native American Indians use to draw out toxins from the skin. So that's what it does. It'll draw the venom back out. If you got the rashes from the poison ivy, if you get the oils on you, it'll draw the oil back out. So it's awesome for that, and I just love it. Very versatile. I use it, too, to put on top of vaccines. If you get a shot in vaccine, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. Plus, I do some other things, but you'll have to call me at the office, and I'll share my secrets with you. Or you can just get a pandemic kit and see what I mean. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you also want to keep that skin nice and moist, keep the good floras, the good bacteria on it, keep elasticity in your skin. So I like to use a honey oatmeal soap for that. So especially if you tend to have eczema, psoriasis, you definitely want to use a honey oatmeal soap. Also, if you want a very broad spectrum antibiotic type of formula, it's a natural antibiotic. It also very good at cutting phlegm. It's the formula called All in One. It's a very big bottle. It's like a tonic type of deal. No alcohol is in that. So you can gargle with that. You can take it as a maintenance dose. It's really awesome to have on hand as well. And your liquids will have about a 10-year shelf life on your herbal liquids if you store them in an environmentally controlled area. You do not have to refrigerate. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com. Reduce your risk of allergy symptoms this year and be proactive with your diet. Stay away from the milk, dairy products, which promote a lot of allergy response. And if you're interested in ordering or for free product catalog, call Apothecary Herbs 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. So check that out. Sign up for the newsletters under the Books and Newsletters tab. Taking a break, we'll be back with more right after this.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll-free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll-free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Getting it down with the guitars. That's a guy thing, isn't it? I think so, the guitar. All right, we're going to be talking about some aging-related issues, you know. A lot of people are, you know, just kind of fixated on anti-aging things. So we're going to look at some of the scientific research on aging. It's really growing, that whole sector in research. Grant money is really dispensed to explore all kinds of ways to reverse age, to do that through gene and hormones and psychological processes. So anything and everything, basically, which can possibly affect our lifespan is really under the scientific microscope. So when did we all become so obsessed with looking young and staying young? Well, the legend of the Holy Grail comes to mind. You know, according to the history professor Joseph Coring of the University of Toronto, Canada, says this legend can be traced back to the 12th century. So the written history of man seeking immortality through the ages was really included into a lot of myths and legends and even the practice of alchemy, which uses a lot of minerals and crystals and magic. Now, major TV networks also produce a lot of fictional shows which charm the viewer with the very thought of living for centuries. You've got the Vampire Diaries, right? So if you ask what is the allure of living forever, you're going to get all kinds of answers. You're going to hear stuff like, well, if I don't have to worry about dying, I can finally get some stuff done. And I'll have more time to learn, I don't know, a new language. Uh-huh. Of course, living forever is not for everybody. And if it were possible, you know, immortality would be, I guess, awarded like Olympic medals to just a select few. What do you think? Well, let's look at the end. And I'm going to call this segment the end of the beginning, because if you think about it, science is on this course to understand, to map out, to eventually control fate. Think about it. Scientists and researchers desire to have dominion over the ultimate in human destiny. So that is when you die, right? So if they are able to break the genetic code they think that controls aging, it will be heralded as a humanitarian success. And Nobel Prizes will be handed out, but the recipe to immortality will have a price. So if anyone has seen the 1992 movie Death Becomes Her, did you remember that one? Bruce Willis was in it. Well, it's all about immortality, and it has a trap to it. So when I guess the message from the movie was immortality is overrated. So for the sake of argument, if science does find a way to stave off death, one thing is for sure, you would still get old mentally. So at some point, you'd lose the excitement that comes with discovery and learning. So here's a question, though. Would your brain run out of room to store hundreds of years' worth of memories? Have you considered the generations and generations of family members coming to you for, I don't know, financial help, right? Think about the tax returns you'd accumulate. And you thought Social Security was bankrupt by now, right? How long would you have to live before the entire first half of our life becomes a blur? Has anyone considered the psychological impact of living forever and watching more immortal family and friends die generation after generation? You're still around. The grieving loss would be enormous, wouldn't it? Well, according to science, quote, if the aging process could be attenuated or weakened, humans would have additional healthy years to bring their personal goals to fruition. The challenge to society will be to ensure that those goals are compatible with the needs of, quote, humanity. So how could such a thing ever be managed? Humans, like, well, we make mistakes. And what if science enabled the likes of, I don't know, someone like Hitler to have unlimited generations to fulfill all his goals? Think about those things. Ugh, right? I don't know, it's sort of like utopia, right? You can't ever make it come to be, right? It's impossible. Not with humans, no. Charlie Chaplin said this. He said, We are all amateurs. We don't live long enough to become anything else. Wow. Well, let's look at, I guess, the benefit of, you know, dying, if you will, death. Ask anyone who has seen great suffering, and they'll tell you that death can be a comfort. Would being immortal make one impervious to non-fatal chronic illnesses? So could fixing one gene code make you immortal and make the other gene codes more vulnerable to malfunction? Well, I find it kind of odd that funding for immortality is kind of abundant in the scientific community, while government healthcare policy contradicts extending life for those over a certain age. You know, the Affordable Care Act, you know, are you worth saving? So in 2002, Science, in the Science Journal, they stated this: research on aging is increasingly important in the public policy area as well. The Policy Forum by Eric Thomas Jesuit, Jesuit, I guess that's how you pronounce his name. He's the father of social policy, and he issues a lot of genome research. Well, he argues that we need to start thinking about the practical and ethical ramifications of research on aging now before the decisions are made for us by circumstance. So what circumstances do we have on natural death? Or was he referring to the Affordable Care Act, which at that time was not yet officially proposed to Congress? I'm not sure. Natural death circumstances? All right, let's look at Pandora's box for a minute. Because recently I have reported on some new studies, scientific discoveries. They have some new viruses they've dubbed the Pandora virus because science is unfamiliar with this virus and its genetic code, and they really don't know what to expect from this virus. But science really doesn't know what to expect from gene splicing or manipulation or modification either. It's all just kind of a big experiment. So it is all just theory that they're working off of. It's an educated guess. So the world food chain is currently one big experiment with regards to GMO. So why would anybody want to allow or trust science to alter human genes in hope of living longer? It may be really grotesque and horrid what really happens. Well, I want to look at this new research real quick. Recent research from Brigham Women's Hospital in Boston stated that long-term or intense fear or anxiety or phobic anxiety lends itself to accelerated biological aging. So the research suggested that middle age and older women were more at risk. At least 8 million Americans have some form of phobia. So the kind of phobia that the research tested was not if people wondered about the weather. The research was really targeting those who are overly worried about everyday things like their computer crashing. So apparently the researchers think they have identified a blood marker in those who had acute or phobic anxiety, which were more frequently found in the older women. So the researchers think that repeat stress creates an oxidative effect on our cells and affects cell division, and therefore women have an increased risk of cardiovascular disease, cancer, and dementia. So this research seems to point to stress causing rapid or premature aging. And again, this is an educated guess, and since phobic anxieties start early in life and are treatable, then who needs gene modification when a little training and therapy and some herbs can clear a phobia condition and remove the risk of premature aging? So the findings on this will be published in the July issue of Polos One. So, yeah, I think there's just a more common sense way to approach this, right? So if you live forever, right, and, you know, you've got family and friends dying because they're not living forever. You know, grief is very much an aging factor on people. Have you not noticed that from somebody who's lost a spouse or a child? Grief is a very much an aging factor. Well, you know, NASA's in on this, too, because they have this space medicine and issue, and they've discovered some things, they think, on the use of magnesium and in the aging process. They say astronauts experience accelerated aging in space due to the loss of magnesium, which governs over, like, 300 enzyme functions in the body. It helps your mitochondria, this little battery cells in your body cells to function, to produce energy, so you can, you know, your brain works and you can, you know, carry out your day. So magnesium could be something we could beef up on naturally in whole foods, not going out and buying a bunch of magnesium pills. Let's not do that. Okay. There are some options. So if you're, let's say you're worried about premature aging, you want to make sure you're eating some really good foods, some organic foods, to counter oxidative effects and stress. And you could do that with some really good berries, blueberries, strawberries, blackberries. Organ cleansing also helps to reduce a lot of oxidative effects on our cells. Cleanse and nourish effect, you know, helps the body regenerate. And if you're anxious, you know, you might want to look at some natural herbs to help take the stress off your nervous system, to help you cope better with stress. And there's lots of things you can do to take out anger issues and worry. It's called exercise, right? A lot of people do a lot of kimchi, you know, exercises. You know, it's just easy flowing movements. And it doesn't stress the joints. And by the time they're done, they forgot why they were upset. Right? So there's lots you could do out there without us delving into genes and splicing away. And, you know, ask Job. You know, he was like an old guy. He saw four generations. I think it was four. Yeah, I think four generations of his children, his sons and grandsons and great-grandsons. But then it was time to go. And Methuselah, was he almost 900, 800 and something? That's a lot of generations. That's a lot of diapers to change. I'm just saying, I just think we need common sense and perspective. Well, if you're interested and looking into some anti-anxiety type of herbs, the valerian root's very good. And it's not addictive. It's not a sedative. St. John's wort is also great. There's St. John's wort and the emotional stress formula at the folks at Apothecary Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. So you have some tools, some choices, along with your healthy lifestyle changes, okay, and some exercise, right? And I say, you know, take the knife and fork and you know, get some really good vegetables that help your skin stay firm and healthy and has elasticity in it rather than, you know, going under the knife. Use the knife to cut up some nice vegetables and eat those. Things like celery and cucumbers. And don't forget, what you're putting on the skin is important, too. Forget all the cosmetic stuff with the parabens in it. That's really going to create wrinkles. Keep it simple. Keep it natural. Use your honey oatmeal soap. Use some natural lotions and sunscreens. You can find them at your health food stores. They're really great. All right, we got a few minutes. So we're going to talk about pets, because pets have been coming up for the last week for me at work. People calling, people worried about their furry friends, and they're part of the family. Huh? And so they want to know what they can do to help their pets, and especially if, you know, they can't afford the vet bills. The vet bills are really, like, getting as high as the hospital bills in a lot of cases, you know. Well, the vets are white coats for pets. That's what they are. They're MDs for pets, and so their bills are going to be pretty significant. So let's see if we can't look at ways to keep our pets a little healthier. There is a heightened concern about some of the products out there that they're feeding pets. We've talked about pet foods before. A lot of them are blended and loaded with grain material and waste grain materials. And the reason is it helps the pet food stick together, and it helps it go through the machinery as they make the little pet pellets that make the dog food, so that it doesn't gum up the machine. So that's why they're there, but they're not good for the pet. And I think, where was I today? I was at my organic market today, and the guy behind the meat counter said that somebody was, I think, in litigation with one of the major dog food companies. I can't remember which one. And they were suing because the pet food did something significantly harmful to their pet. And so, anyway, we'll see what happens with that if we hear about it in the news. But, you know, our pets are carnivores. They're not supposed to be eating grains. And so pet food, you know, is kind of a new invention. What did pets eat a couple hundred years ago? Well, they ate what they found out in the wild and or whatever scraps humans gave them. Now, in the 19th century, James Spratt, in 1860, he invented pet food, the commercial pet food. He called his product Spratt's Dog Cakes. He was marketing them at dog shows. They were the first dog biscuit, you know, the prototype to a milk bone, I guess, is what it was. And then from that, he morphed into dog food. So the marketing machinery was well underway with, you know, the pet diet from a commercial perspective. So people were convinced, don't give your dog table scraps. That's harmful to your pet. So, you know, people got away from the common sense stuff. Well, what would animals normally eat in the wild? I mean, think about it. Okay, so someone comes up to you and says, your pet eating food in the wild, that's not balanced. But our pet food is, with all the vitamins and all the minerals and the omega-3 fatty acids and this and that. All synthetic, you know, fortification, obviously. But think about it. There is no balanced diet in the wild. Duh. Right? Exactly. And pets have a digestive tract that is designed to eat raw meat. Their stomach enzymes are designed for raw meat. So when you cook food and give it to them, it's totally foreign to their system to have cooked food like that. So, and it changes the meat chemically for them. So, have you ever given your pet some raw meat? Think about it. I want to ask y'all out there. Have you done that? Okay. So if you gave your pet, let's say, some raw hamburger, I mean, you can throw in some green beans, maybe a boiled egg if you want, right? But let's say the majority of it's raw hamburger. The next day, when your dog goes for a walk with you, look at the excrement, the bowel movement on this pet. It'll be a fraction of what pets would, you know, void out if they were eating dog food. Dog food, it's like a big pile because all the grains and the bulks them up and they get gassy. But if you give them raw meat, it's like nothing. Their body kind of uses all the protein. There's very little left. That's amazing. Try it. You'll be amazed, especially if you got a big dog. Instead of all these mounds of stuff that come out, it's, you know, it's like what you squirt out of a toothpaste bottle. It's nothing. One of the key elements to the pet industry dog food strategy is they want to get the endorsements of vets on board to tell you, you know, this is vets say, you know, they endorse this pet food, lots of nutrition in it, and so forth and so on. Well, you know, so they paid for an endorsement. What better guarantee to get a steady stream of pet patients when they're eating this food that's probably going to give them a problem, right? I hate to say it like that, but I'm thinking that's what happens. So when you look at your pet foods, you're going to see artificial ingredients, grain fillers, and synthetic vitamins. Vets tell pet owners that too much meat is going to be harmful and that the commercial pet foods are more balanced, which, you know, not correct. Not correct at all. Later on, pet food became more tailored to your puppies and your senior pets, your premium varieties, pets with allergies, and so forth and so on. Let's use some common sense with our pets. There are more opinions on whether grains, like corn, should be included in your pet foods. So the opinions tend to come from either those opposed or from those who are for grains. And if you look closely at the proponents for the grains or the corn being included in pet food, they're associated in some way with the grain industry, if you're looking at experts. So for them, corn in the pet food is good. But most of the reports that corn is good for your pet come from the pet food industry themselves. And I look at it as propaganda. So the added grains to the pet food are promoting diabetes in your pets. The pet foods with corn and other grains will have higher glycemic index ratings. So the pet foods with corn meal, will have this glycemic rating of a 69, while the food with just meat has a glycemic rating of 0. So if your dog is diabetic, guess what? Guess what you should be doing. So here are some glycemic index ratings on other ingredients in the grains. If your dog food has brown rice, it's a glycemic rating of 55. Corn is 53, oatmeal is 49, wheat grain is 41, and barley grain is 25. So your corn ingredients and pet foods really don't offer a low glycemic index at all. Not for your pet. Also, there's a lot of allergy studies being done, and they're suspecting that they're picked up in allergies by 3 to 14%. Of course, the reliability of the research is, you know, kind of iffy because, you know, they're just going by symptoms. The pets don't communicate everything, so they're just going by what pet and vets are noticing on their pets themselves. So digestion is a key issue with your dog foods. Pet owners are noticing that pets have difficulty digesting these grains, especially the corn, which is almost, 90% GM now? So organic corn is usually not a problem for pets to digest, but if it's modified or refined into a meal or a flour and it's cooked, well, then it becomes difficult for pets to digest. Actually, all the grains are digestible unless they're processed. But pets don't normally eat grains in the wild. So most of the grains in pet foods are ground up and cooked into the product. For more processing, the more the processing is involved, the higher the glycemic index gets. So pet food industry claims 99% of the corn is digestible. I beg to differ. So think like your pet in the wild and what your pet would eat in the wild. And if your dog has yeast issues and skin issues and diabetic issues and God knows cancer issues, get them off the commercial pet food, even if it's the organic custom, whatever, you know, salon version pet food. Just make it yourself, right? And if your pets need a little extra, well, then you can use an organic supplement, but make sure it's a whole food supplement. So we came out with Power Greens for Pets. And it's a powder you mix into your meat dog foods that you make. And just watch them lick it out of the bowl. Just great stuff. All organic, no grains, no glycemic index. There is wheatgrass in it, but it's not wheat berry. Okay, so there's no grains. So there's no glycemic issue. And it's all certified organic, grown to Tilth, Oregon standards. So check that out at thepowerherbs.com and save your pets. I know I'm out of time, but let me know if you have a health issue you want me to include next time on the show, and I will try. Just let me know. Send me an email through the powerherbs.com website, and you could get there typing in herbtalklive.com as well. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wolf. Until next time, be well. We'll